The Magic Podcast, hosted by Lloyd Barnes and Craig Petty. Your all-access, behind-the-scenes insight into the current happenings of the magic industry, where Craig and Lloyd will thrust themselves deep inside your ears every Wednesday to rant, dissect, and give you their raw and unfiltered views on the art of magic. So, lock your door, take out your deck, and brace yourself for the Magic Podcast.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Magic Podcast with me, Craig Petty.
And me, Lloyd Barnes.
And it's happy. I'm looking at his smiley little face. He's happy, he's excited.
I've missed it, man.
Yeah, we didn't do this last week. It's literally been 2 weeks since me and Lloyd spoke. He's been really busy at Murphy's. It's going into December for me. I've been running around the country doing gigs. And we haven't
I didn't hear from you at all last week. And I thought, normally, like on a Wednesday, it's like go time on the podcast. So I just sat back quietly, waiting. I thought, well, maybe he's dead. So I was waiting for an obituary to pop up on Facebook. Because I never expected you to not call.
To be honest, I didn't realize until Wednesday at like 11 o'clock at night that it was Wednesday.
Yeah.
And I was like, Lloyd hasn't called me. So obviously he's up against it as well. And I know you're really busy with, a bunch of stuff at Murphy's, including Angelo's new thing, which we'll talk about later on. But I just figured, hey, we'll do it next week. And then we've managed to squeeze one in, even though I'm leaving. This is going to be a short one. It's going to be about an hour, because in about an hour I'm leaving for Covent Garden. Because I'm performing at a corporate event near Covent Garden tonight.
Oh, yeah.
My schedule from now until Christmas Eve is ridiculous. But I love it. The day that I don't want to perform is the day that I fucking give all this.
It's so typical, isn't it? It's so fucking typical. Well, I'm trying to think. There's no real magic dramas going on at the minute, is there?
There's no real magic dramas. Everybody is buzzing about Dynamo is Dead. We've talked about that before.
Yeah,
the one thing there is, it's not a drama, but the one thing that's worth talking about, and I'm not sure if you know this, Unbelievable, Derren Brown's show in the West End.
Mm-hmm.
The dates have been reduced. You know, some reviews have been good, some reviews have been bad, but it was meant to run until the end of April 2024. But the theatre that it's running in has just announced that it's only now going to be running until the 7th of January. They've massively cut it short. They've had very mixed reviews. I've not seen it, so I can't comment. It's had very mixed reviews. Some people have said it's the best thing ever. Magicians have said that it's not the best thing ever. I think they're looking for a different thing. I've spoken to a lot of lay people who've gone and seen it at gigs and so on and so forth, and they've all said the same thing. It's good, but it's not something that it's not a must see. It's not something that it's like, right, okay, we're going to London for a long weekend. What we're going to do? We have to watch Unbelievable. It's like, if you watch it, you're not going to be disappointed, but it's not something that you're clamoring to get a ticket for. It's not. So I don't know if ticket sales have been affected. I don't know if it's not sold as well. I don't know if there's been any, I don't know. But all I know is that the run is ending on the 7th of January.
That's a shame. I think I did hear that they had to expressly tell people that like Derren is not part of the show or not in the show. And I think, from what I hear, it's a fantastic show. I've seen mixed reviews online, but from what I hear, it's a fantastic show from people that have gone understanding what the concept of the show is. And I think the poor reviews are coming from people that were confused with Derren not being in it. You know, it's a really odd way to market the show the way they did it. Really, really odd. And I get that they used his name.
I think they made a mistake with the whole, if Derren's not there, don't even bother mentioning his name. Even if he's
I kind of feel like it has that feel of overpromise, underdeliver. Like, oh, Derren Brown, Derren Brown, Derren Brown. The thing is, Derren Brown is like the Freddie Mercury of performing. He is a maestro, and he can hold the audience in the palm of his hand. Anyone other than Derren, to me at least, in my opinion, and I'd say there's only a handful, but really anyone other than Derren is not going to be as good. So when it's like, imagine promoting a music event, saying Freddie Mercury produced this, Freddie Mercury, and it's all over the thing, and then suddenly you go and it's people who are great in their own rights, but but they're not fucking Freddie Mercury. Even if you know he's not going to be there, you're kind of expecting greatness.
Yeah.
But what can I say? I haven't seen it. I just think in situations like any show, I always think it's like under promise, over deliver. That's like the, you know, the golden rule.
Yeah, under promise, over deliver. I would 100% agree with that. Like I have a business. I actually have two business coaches. Technically, we have three. Sarah has one. I have two. Or we have one together. It doesn't really matter. But I have business coaches that I work with to help me kind of grow my business and keep me on track. And one of my business coaches recently was talking to me about the metrics. And he said, you know, how many gold members do you have that you do one-to-ones with twice a month, 1 hour, 1 day, you know? And I told him, and he went, oh, right, okay. Why don't you have more gold members? And I said, well, because I just physically haven't got any more time. Like I'm spent. There's nothing else I can do. He's like, okay, well, why don't you offer gold memberships, but you don't do the one-to-ones with them, but somebody else does in your team? And I say, because nobody's going to want to buy into that, because people buy a gold membership on the Netflix because they want to sit down with me, get my advice, speak to me about something. If they buy a gold membership and then somebody else turns up, well, then all of a sudden they're going to feel cheated because it's Craig Petty's Netflix. They're expecting to have a one-to-one with me and they have a one-to-one with somebody else. You know, I just don't. And I said, no, that's just not an option. That's never going to happen.
I totally get that. There's a guy on YouTube does really great videos about production, how to make better productions and things. And so I was advertised this course and this is kind of like the Netflix where it's like, oh, if you pay a monthly thing of whatever it was, like $150 or something, you get direct access to me. So I was like, oh, cool. Yeah, I'd love to pick this guy's brains over a few months. There's some interesting concepts he talks about that I wasn't aware of. And then when I like went to purchase it, you get into like the finer print. It's like, oh, it's access to him or his team. And his team are people, you know, equally as skilled, apparently, which they probably are. But I was like, eh, I kind of, it's a bit of a bait and switch, you know. I thought, yeah, I'm not going to go for that. But on the positive side to Darren's show, going back to that, I have only heard nothing but fucking rave reviews of how good Simon Lipkin is, isn't it?
Oh, Simon Lipkin, I think, has become the standout star, both in the magic community and by the general public, which he already was. I mean, you know, this is a guy, let's make no bones about it. He, you know, last Christmas, what was he doing? He was the lead role in Elf on the West End. You know, he's been in Hollywood films. He's already got a massive name for himself outside of magic, and what the magic community are now seeing is what everybody outside of magic has known for a while, which is this is one of the most talented guys on the planet. And I know
he's one of those bastards that's good at everything. Remember, he showed us a bunch of stuff he hadn't released yet. How smart
I know I don't know if I meant to say this, but I know that he was at Penguin earlier this year. And I know that he's filmed a bunch of stuff with Penguin. I know he's filmed about 4 or 5 projects with Penguin.
Yeah, he's got some very, very clever commercial things. I hate people like that. Bastard. Absolute bastard.
And he's good looking. And he's a really nice guy. And he's super talented. He's great at everything he does. You just want to drop kick him in the tits, don't you?
I just hope that he's a fucking terrible person behind doors, because it balances out the world then.
When nobody's looking, I bet he drowns kittens in the back yard in the pond, you know, just for fun.
Yeah. I bet he's into scat.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's start a room and make ourselves feel better.
Yeah. We're just kidding, Simon. We fucking love you, man. Anyway, we don't have long. No, since there's no drama going on in the magic world.
But there are a couple of dates that I want to announce. So first of all, for anybody going to the magic, the Blackpool Magic Convention last year, there were two things that happened that Magic Podcast was involved with. One was great and one was not so great. The one that was not so great was the Magic Podcast Live. Less said about that, the better. The one that was really great, though, was the hangout beforehand. You know, we kind of took over the House of Secrets on the Wednesday night. It was fantastic because a lot of people that go to Blackpool never been there before. You know, it's a little bit nerve-wracking, you know, kind of what do I expect? What's going to happen? So we took over the House of Secrets. We had some huge names there. Mark Lemon was there. Pete Turner was there. A whole bunch of people. Danny Goldsmith was just jamming with coins, and we had this great kind of session vibe going on all night. Well, it's back. If you want to come to the Magic Podcast / Black Arts Podcast combined meetup, then you can do so. The tickets are now available on the House of Secrets. You can go and get a ticket by going on the House of Secrets, going to the events page, looking for the Magic Podcast / Black Arts Podcast meetup and booking a ticket. And they will sell out very quickly because they did last year. And a lot of people said that that was one of their favorite events of the whole of the Blackpool weekend. So if you want to kick your Blackpool weekend off to a good start and you want to hang out with me, Lloyd, Jake, and a whole bunch of other people and just have fun having a couple of drinks and showing each other magic, then you need to book on now.
I feel like we should do something a little bit different this time. Like maybe like a thing where three people teach three tricks in 10 minutes, you know, just have some fucking structure, maybe.
We have a stage. We may as well use it. You know, we have a stage. We could easily, like, do, like, a mini lecture or something like that, or, you know, some such thing.
This should definitely be something like that. Let's discuss some ideas for some names to do some cool stuff. Maybe me and you, I don't think they want to fucking see anything from us, but maybe me and you could teach some like unreleased material, possibly.
That sounds like a good idea. We're going to have Jake there. Maybe Jake could teach something as well.
Oh, Jake's going to, do you know what? So the funny thing is, I didn't know about this being confirmed until 2 seconds before we started recording. Craig was like, oh, by the way, it's now a combined meetup for the Black Art Podcast, the Magic Podcast at House of Secrets. And I had no idea it was going to happen. But on top of this, so I didn't know, but now I'm going to confirm that Jake will do something too.
You haven't spoken to him, but he's going to.
Well, basically, just for Jake, listen, Jake said, I was talking to him yesterday, and he has gone full time into magic creation, and he's been offered a shitload of lectures around the country for next year and coming up. And he said he's just saying yes to everything. So I am going to say he's only teaching a trick on stage to like 30 people, so it'll be fine.
Now here's the thing.
Sorry, Jake.
Well, I haven't booked a ticket yet, but I'm going to. I heard he's doing an online lecture in January. Is that right?
It's a two-part lecture. Dude, it's fucking epic. So my sort of... I mean, everyone like has... I think it's very rare to create entirely solo when you create magic. Me and you create in a very certain way. We approach things in a combination of like visual and commercial elements. When we come, you know, that's when we create. That's how we try to think together. And then some people are collaborative in other ways. Jake creates magic. So the reason I've sort of attached myself to Jake's like brilliance is because I like the idea of creating moments of magic that feel very real, even though I know like the suspension of disbelief is idiotic and things like this and Penn and Teller, you know, say you never do that. I do love the concept of just, you know, for example, in the most basic terms, if you're going to do a fucking ambitious card effect, why not before, you know, do one phase and make a moment of it where you light a candle, you touch someone's palm to yours, and suddenly the candle flicks off, turns out, but then comes back on a second later, and it's like going back in time. It's just ideas like making things just feel a bit more, making moments out of magic. I love that sort of stuff because you can just get so much more out of even the most basic of tricks, but also then they feel very, very fucking different. Well, anyway, Jake's got a great knack of being able to do that with lots of different tricks, but also he's got a really, really great creative brain in terms of just like presentations and plots as well. He's got this one thing that he's been, oh my God, I'll have to tell you off here because it's not mine to share. But the moment you hear it, you'll be like 20,000 ideas. You're like, oh fuck. And you know, it's kind of like one of those people. So anyway, yeah, I'm sort of going off on a tangent. If anyone's into the type of magic, which isn't necessarily super duper commercial table hopping stuff, but more the type of magic that you'd perform to friends or socially at a pub and create just like some really fucking weird moments, then Jake is like the guy who's going to get you thinking like that. And he also like will ease you into it. He starts off with some commercial material and then to get you deeper into the rabbit hole. I just think it's, if anyone that's into that or has ever thought about making magic more than just a surprise thing, check it out. Anyway, two parts.
Where can you
Jakekeen.com, J-A-K-E keane.com. And there's an option for just the tickets or tickets with lecture notes. And also, if you sign up, you get 3 free tricks sent to you in advance before it goes live in January. So it's honestly, it's really, as a fucking big names have signed up to the lecture already.
It's on Sunday, the 7th of January.
Yes.
At 9 p.m. GMT, and it's over Skype.
Over Skype. It'll be recorded, so if you can't make it live, you will get the recording.
You tell Jake that the 1990s called, they want their platform of choice back. Zoom is where it's at, baby. Okay, and while I'm on, I'm getting general admission for both nights and the lecture notes.
Oh, you won't be disappointed.
I know I won't. I fucking love that guy. So yeah, we're doing that right now. This is good. So I'll let you know when it's booked. I'm just going to have to fill in all of his forms.
I'll type it. Oh yeah, I'll let you do that. Yeah. So whilst you're purchasing tickets, I bought mine last week, I think it was, with the lecture notes. If you guys have, if any of you have listened to the Black Art podcast, then you'll understand exactly the type of stuff that Jake will be teaching.
Jake, by the way, I'm a massive fan of Jake. I really am. I'm a massive fan. I don't know him personally. I wish I did. I listened to the, you probably didn't watch it. I did a video on Magic TV recently on the best podcast in Magic. And the Black Arts podcast was number 2, I believe.
Oh, amazing. Thank you. Which one was first?
This one. Fuck off. This is a podcast that I would want to listen to if we weren't doing it, because it's just two mates chatting about magic, not taking ourselves too seriously, talking bollocks, and you know, that's what I like. I like that sort of shit.
Yeah, no, same. I like talking shit about magic.
Talking shit. Oh, I need a credit card. Can't I pay by PayPal? in a minute. Let me text Jack. Bring my wallet in.
Whilst you're doing that, we were on the Black Art podcast, you've listened to it, right?
Yeah, I listened to it.
We tried it normally every week. We create try to create one trick on air. And last week, I think, might be my favorite trick we ever created. We were talking about self-working card tricks and some of our favorite principles of self-working card tricks. Okay. And I said, there's one that I love. And I don't think it's John Bannon's, but I read it in his book, Mentalismo. I can't remember who he credits it to. And the principle is really, really, really simple. It's the whole she loves me, she loves me not thing.
Oh, yeah. With kind of the down under deal.
Down under deal. So you have say you have 15 cards and the participant has chosen one of those in advance. And then they say, she loves me, and puts it to the bottom. And deals went off as they say, she loves me not. And you continue this until you're down to one card. It's a great little thing in general, because it's universal. Like, everyone recognizes what it is. Everyone understands what it means. I really love that. How can we take it further? And what we ended up creating was this fucking amazing self-working trick, fully explained, where they think of a card, and they cut off a pack of cards. They do she loves me, she loves me not, or he loves me, he loves me not, or they love me, they love me not. And you'll understand why this is important in a minute. They do the whole process and they're left with one card, but then they pick up the pile they've discarded, which is every card but theirs, and they give that a shuffle. And they spread them face up on the table. Now they'll turn over the final card, which they were holding, and it's their card that matches. But when you look at the cards, if you read them upside down, like you can, the values, like an S for a 5 and a 4 for an H, 3 for an E, that all the cards put together spells she loves me.
Oh, that's smart. I like that.
You know how you can write love with playing cards with a 7, a queen, an ace, and a 3. So yeah. So the whole well done, Craig, just bought the tickets to Jake's lecture. Hell yeah, you're not gonna be disappointed.
And the lecture notes.
JakeKeane.com. But yeah, so that trick was live on air and I fucking love it. So that's kind of some of the stuff is interesting principles and mixed with self-working ideas, but then some real strong mysticism shit thrown in. It's gonna be a banger, an absolute banger.
That's brilliant. That's amazing. Anyway. I'm gonna be Yeah. So everybody, go to Jake's website and sign up for the lecture. It's going to be a goodie. And I know you listen to the Magic Podcast because you're listening to this right now. But if you want a podcast that also features Lloyd with somebody who is equally as creative as Lloyd and wants to listen to something that has way more substance than the Magic Podcast, where you actually get to maybe learn something rather than just listening to two guys make dick jokes, then go check out the Black Arts Podcast because it's really good.
I can't wait for the day we do the crossover.
And oh god, that would be a mess. That's the crossover that nobody
will
wants.
Create tricks that end up as dick jokes.
End up as dick jokes. Talking about dick jokes, don't you think that like that the build up normally people are buzzing this time of the year for the session convention? It's kind of fizzled out. No one's fucking talking about it. Everybody is talking about Blackpool because they're releasing new things every single day. They've released names.
Blackpool's looking epic this year.
Some of the names they're announcing is just incredible.
Mm-hmm. But the production they're putting into, like the organization of it. I just love how they're dropping the pictures and the images online every few days, and it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger.
Oh, everyone's buzzing about it. But the session. I just said to you off air, you know, I mean, we had a conversation before we started filming the podcast. I said, are you going to the session? And you said, normally you're like, yeah, I'm fucking going there. Absolutely. And you're like, I'm not sure. And I said, I'm not sure either. Rylan wants to go. But I don't know. I don't know. It just doesn't feel like a buzz.
Yeah, I don't know. I suppose like me and you come from a place of like being spoiled and possibly a bit of fatigue. But once you've done the convention circuits for over a decade, you kind of fall in love with like certain ones that just suit you a bit better and stuff. I don't know what it is, but when it was smaller at Gloucester, I keep saying this time and time again, it was the best convention on the planet, right? Mm-hmm. And I'd fucking fight to the death on that. But as soon as they moved it to London, like incrementally, it didn't have that feel of what it was before. And there's no disservice to it because it's still a top five convention.
Oh yeah, without you know, but I'm like, not dissing Vanishing Ink, I'm not dissing Andy or Josh or George or anything. I'm just it just doesn't seem like there's a buzz. No one's talking about it. No one's like, oh, I can't wait for the session. It's just
it's going to be packed. It's going to be a sellout convention. It always is. Like, there's no doubt about that. There's, I think maybe potentially just because of like my time in the game, so to speak. I'm just more interested in either like a Blackpool, which is just an experience on its own, which is Blackpool's a different league to everything, or like little quieter conventions where you can get time to, you know, properly jam with people and I don't know, something that's not in an airport lobby in a hotel.
Yeah, I'm totally with you. Totally 100% with
but
you.
But I'll probably end up going, I say.
I think Ryan could force my hand on it. I think he's going to want to go. So
maybe it's just because we're very tired as well. I there's nothing wrong with a session convention. It's such a well put together convention. It's just, I don't know.
It's gone a bit corporate compared to how it was in Gloucester. In Gloucester, it was kind of like a whole, and I understand why, because Vanishing Ink as a company has gone corporate. You can't get to the size that Vanishing Ink are. And Josh and Andy should be applauded for everything they've achieved. I mean, their growth has been astronomical. But you can't get to the level that Vanishing Ink is, where they've got everything going on, this retreat, the you know, everything, and then still kind of have the session the way it was back in Gloucester. But I do miss those days. I agree.
Yeah. Maybe that's just us being old. You know, old music, 80s music was better than what the kids
remember
listen
the
to
good
these
old
days.
Days. Yeah.
We preferred the session when nobody went to it. Ah, ha, ha, ha. Maybe it says more about us.
I think it does, to be perfectly
honest. And it does about the convention. I could imagine being like 16-year-old me, wet behind the ears, going to it and probably just fucking loving my life. You know?
Yeah.
Well, I probably would have been twatted drunk like I used to be. So
the fun Lloyd. No, I'm joking. I didn't know you when you were drunk. Yeah, I never really knew you that well then. I only met you properly.
You would have seen my penis.
Damn. If only I had a time travel machine, I could go back in time to those days. My life would be complete. All I do now is just discuss it with the various sheep in fields in Wales, and that's all.
I shit myself much less these days being sober.
That's always a positive.
Yeah,
sober. You know, shitting.
I think that's an achievement.
If only a dog could shit himself less.
Oh, don't. I was like Diana on a fucking minefield at 3 a.m. last night. My dog decided to shit all over the rug. And I didn't have I did have spidey senses tingling. My dog only goes downstairs in the night if he needs the toilet. And I listened to podcasts to sleep. So I was sleeping with my podcast in. Kaylee was up with the baby and she's not very well. And so I was like just grunting, and all I hear was like fucking tapping on the floor, like it's like nails, you know, on the tile floor downstairs. And I was like, oh no, that sounds like he needs the toilet. So I went downstairs to let him out, half asleep, fucking took my headphone out. And yeah, it just looked like fucking pepperoni pizza on the carpet, man. It was just like just loads and loads of dog shit everywhere. So I did have two dogs. I'm currently considering having no dogs, you know, after Pixel died last year or whatever the fuck it was. Now I'm thinking, is it worth it? Is it?
It's not worth it. Don't get rid of the dog. We don't want the walls of your office black again. That grungy period of your life has disappeared. We don't want that back. Although I would like to say, this is why people tune into the Magic Podcast. You know, you tune into the Black Arts Podcast for, you know, inspiration.
Creativity,
on becoming a performer. And you tune into the Magic Podcast to listen to stories about Lloyd's dog shitting itself in his front room. This is what the people want, Lloyd.
Magic life, baby. Magic life.
Talking about shit, should we talk about some new products?
Yes, I love the shit. I'll be honest, I haven't really fucking looked at much at all, so.
Well, I'll tell you right now, the Nightshade coin set got launched last week.
Okay, tell me what this is, because I'll be completely honest with you. I've just sort of not seen much of the new releases. And because you release so much, sometimes I do not get a chance to look at it.
Well, the Nightshade coin set is the third in the Elite coin range from Alakazam. The first one was the Mirage coin set. Then after the Mirage coin set, you had the Apparition coin set. And then after Apparition, you have Nightshade. Nightshade originally came out 15 years ago. Just brought it back out now, but with a massively expanded the gimmicks made by Roy Coopers. They're better made. There's a difference in the gimmicks to the original. But the big thing is there's like 8 hours of tutorial with like 40 different routines with this coin set. And I mean, it's just incredible. The copper silver routine, which is the one everyone's talking about, is probably the cleanest copper silver routine you'll ever see. So what you get in the set, and I've not talked about this anywhere else, but I'll happily talk about it on the podcast. You get, I think, 3 regular silver dollars. Well, you can get half dollar or dollar size, but you get 3 regular dollars. You get a regular copper coin that's the same size as the dollars. It's a copper round. It's been cut down to be the same size as the dollars. You get a silver shell that will fit over all of them. But the key thing that you get is you get 2 split coins. Now, I've been using split coins for years, but these 2 split coins, one's copper, one's silver, and they are designed to fit against each other. So imagine this for a second, Lloyd. In fact, I'll go and get them. I'll show you on screen. Talk for a second. One sec.
Okay, yeah. So split coins, for anyone that don't know, and I'm sure I'm probably going to get this wrong, but they're generally a single coin that's been sliced down the middle and it becomes 2 coins. But depending on the type of split coin, sometimes you can show the... Imagine taking 2 buns, 2 burger buns, or a singular burger bun, and having it cut down the center. One side being the tails, one side being the heads. And when you open it to show the inside of where the bread would be, that would generally, depending on the split coin, can sometimes be a different coin altogether. So it could be a copper coin on the insides and a silver coin on the outside. But when they put together, they magnetize and they look like one silver coin. That can generally be the type of split coin. Sometimes it can just be a coin that splits in two that can make it look like one coin becomes 2 and then goes back together. Let's see. Craig's about to show me.
I will show you a simple routine that you can do with it. So I'll try and perform it to you on camera. If you were here, Lloyd, You can examine these two coins.
That's so Craig showed coin. Me a copper coin and a silver coin. He's got two coins in his hand only. He's placed them both now, into his opened out left palm. And now he's taken the copper coin into his right palm. So he's got his two hands, palm up, silver coin in one, copper coin in the other. Okay.
And
he's showing them front and back very, very cleanly.
So very I'm going to try and make these two coins change places like that. That's what's going to happen. The two coins are going to change.
Okay, so as he said that, he swapped the silver coin very openly with the copper coin. So now the silver coin is in his right hand. The copper coin is in his left hand. And palm is open. There's nothing being hidden. Okay, let's do it.
Let's do this.
He closed both fists. And they very fucking cleanly switch places. They just transpose. Wow.
So the silver's here, the copper's here. If I squeeze, the silver's now over here. If the silver's here and I shake again, now the silver's there and the copper's there.
Wow. Okay, so they just jump back and forth. What's beautiful about this is before the change happens, literally at fingertips, Craig showed the front and back of both coins. And there's no shell, right?
Mm-hmm. No shells at all.
That's really, really... If you hadn't said split coins before this, that's very, very baffling.
Oh, at Magic Live, I was showing this to Magic Belay, and he was just getting fooled over and over.
Yeah, it's very, very fooling. I actually think if you hadn't said split coins, I would have been not entirely... I don't think I would have known the method to be completely real with you.
Now, check this. Okay. There's the silver.
Silver coin in his left hand in a fist, and then a visual change of the copper into silver in his right hand at fingertips. Wow.
You could even do it like this. What?
Wow. Oh, both coins held at fingertips, and he shook up and down, and they both literally visually color changed, and there's no extra coins hiding. Wow.
Now you can ask them to decide which one you want to put in the pocket. So which one do you want me to put away, copper or silver?
Copper.
So the copper goes away. Mm-hmm. That leaves the silver, right?
Yeah.
If I snap, the copper's here. If the copper's here, what's in? What's over there, the silver?
Yeah.
Until I snap again, and now them are back again.
Oh, wow. And there's two in his hand now. That's amazing. That's amazing. Wow.
And then you can do this. You can say, look, silver and copper go in the hand. I'll take out the silver coin. You see the silver. If I shake, now the copper's over here. And if I squeeze, now they're both over there.
Wow. Wow.
This is like next level.
Holy fuck.
And then for the finale, say, which one do you want me to put in my pocket? Silver or copper?
Silver.
Okay, watch. I'm going to take the silver. I'm going to put the silver in my pocket. What does that leave over here?
Copper.
Forget it.
Insane. Insane. Show me that gimmick then.
Yeah, so what we have is... let me just grab it here. So what we have here is we have two split coins, but they're designed by Roy to basically attract to each other, which if you've got a normal copper and silver split coin, they don't really do that. So watch this. In the action of... I show them very cleanly, both sides, yeah? And in the action...
Well, let me just explain. You're showing a copper coin front and back and a silver coin front and back. And they do look like just regular coins. You can't actually see the split.
No, you can't. We've made a big... Yeah, improvements on that. So in the action of changing the places, you're going to, on the fly, create two copper silver coins. Watch. So it looks like this. In the action of just saying, look, I'm going to make them change places like that, now I've got two copper silver coins. On the fly, I've created two copper silvers.
That's literally genius. Absolutely genius. So what people are not hearing or not seeing is it looks like, as you swap the silver coin into the right hand quite openly and the copper coin into the left hand, you are dislodging the back half of both. Sorry, I sneezed. You're dislodging the back half of both split coins, and they are exchanging places, but you can't see it. It's completely invisible, like 100% invisible. But now you've got a copper silver double-headed coin on both sides.
So you can do this sort of stuff, but because you've got two split coins, when you put one of them away and you're left with one, you're still left with a copper silver coin, so you can have them change places, or by just dislodging opening the split coin, you can have both coins go back into your hand. And now you've only got one split coin, but they still think you're in the same position. So now you can do transpositions like this and changes like this just by using the one coin. And when you put them away at the end and you ask them which one, if they say silver, you take it out this way. If they say copper, they take it out this way. And at the end, you're left with nothing in your hand and everything is gone because you've ditched it all in your pocket and it's instantly reset.
Holy fucking shitballs, Batman.
Yeah.
That I get it. I get why this is so good. That copper, the idea of just that concept alone of taking two coins, showing them at your fingertips, front and back, and then within a split second, they are now double-headed, or not, you know, double-sided, one's copper, well, just standard copper, silver coins. But there's nothing to hide, so to speak. You're not normally, if you wanted to hide, if you wanted to have a copper, silver coin that you could show both sides, you'd have a shell over the alternate, you know, you have a matching shell with the alternate side of the coin, and then you ditch the shell off or something. But the fact that you can just show them both in the left hand, right hand, front and back, and then just immediately they become copper, is fucking great. Because then you get, like, there's certain coin changes you can do visually. I know, like, Mario Boykin from New York has some great work at, like, a fingertip coin change, which I've practiced loads over the years. And there's some great spellbound moves from Ponta to, you know, a million different people. But there's nothing really is as visual as a copper silver coin change, because it just turn it at your fingertips. There's not really a better, I'd say, more visual change. And it also happens to be the absolute easiest change. And when you're put in a position that makes it look as ultra surgically clean as that, you are, there's a big debate in all of magic about whether you should use gimmicks or not. You know, some people are purists, some people are not. When you do have situations where the gimmick vastly improves what the effect not only looks like, but also how easy it is to do, then in those situations, for me, the gimmick wins.
Yeah, I agree.
You know,
completely, 100%. I think I want to do the best possible magic that I can do. And if that involves just four regular coins, so be it. But that involves a gimmick, and that's the best way that I can do something, I'm going to use that gimmick. I don't care.
Yeah.
No layperson I've ever performed to has ever gone, that was very good, but it would have been better if you'd not had the gimmick in play and you'd use proper sleight of hand, Mr. Magician. They don't care. They just want to see
the one thing, that's the thing. With out of all magic, over the years, you must have done this, but I've just got, I've got lay friends, and the ones that I've known my entire life, they do end up seeing how certain things work, because when I talk about what I do for a living, which is literally creative magic, every now and then, and rarely, but every now and then it'll come up. But what do you actually, when you're having a genuine conversation with an old friend, and you let them in on a secret or two, it's just right, shoot me, whatever. And I think there's only probably three friends that I can count that I've ever shown coin gimmicks to, because I think they're the most, like, I don't know, for me they're the most impressive things, but also they're the one type of gimmick that they fucking blow people away that coins can be gimmick. Like, no one ever thinks you can gimmick a coin. Like, they think you can have trick cards, they think you can have trick this and that, or doves hidden up your sleeve and shit. The rare occasions when a layperson's seen a gimmick coin, it's kind of like, that moment in a film where they realize they're in the Matrix, and it's like, like, so I don't ever really stress about using coin gimmicks.
I'm with you. But there you go. One will be winging its way tomorrow from Ashford in Kent through to the heart of Wales, so that you can.
Yes, thank you.
That's all right. No problem, man. The least I can do for you.
I'll have to do a fuller episode on it. I've also done a fuller episode. I've recorded it, but I haven't managed to get it out yet, of the Scotch and Whiskey set from Tom Elderfield and Hanson Chen.
That's meant to be pretty good.
It's fucking outrageously good.
Well, I'm kind of into my key magic a bit.
Yeah, I mean, you are the king of keys. What I'll say about this set is I performed it on a fuller episode. I haven't had time to put it together yet. But the set is so good because it's copper silver keys, so with like a nest in lock in shell, and the lock in part is the exceptional part to this, because the performance that I did It was quite a, what I do. So when I have a 10 pence 2p coin unique, what they call it, mm-hmm. Scotch and soda in America, whatever. I use that loads when I perform. And what I'll do is I'll load the 10 pence somewhere, sometimes under their watch, sometimes under their coaster, or whatever. And I'll just show the 10 pence in my hand and a 2 pence in my hand. I'll hold them both in one hand at the fingertips. I'll just say, you know, which one should we use for this? Whatever one they name, it doesn't matter. I'll just wave my hand up and down slowly, like I'm giving a mouse a hand job, and because I'm using my fingertips. And then I'll just literally nest the 10 pence into the 2p, and you just get the most visually clean vanish ever. Because the way they're made, you can just drop it, you know, into their hand and just, you know, roll your sleeves up. And then, you know, when they find where, when you reveal where it ended up, they don't look for where it's gone. To me, it's one of those, like, one of those perfect tricks. Like, it's very, yeah. very hard to beat. Anyway, with this key Scotch and whiskey effect, I basically stuck to the same sort of format. I did it to Kaylee. She hadn't seen it before. Obviously, it's a new effect. I loaded the gold key behind her, just in plain sight. And then I put them both in my fist. So very, very openly, I just said, I pulled my sleeve down. I held my hand up in the air. I closed my hand slowly so that it was very obvious nothing was happening. And I said, reach in to like my fist, so using your finger and thumb, and pull out either the gold or silver key. So I'm, you know, so it's a bit of like a subtlety mentally going on there, because she's only going right. to feel one because they were locked in at this point. But because good. It was like quick, so she pulled one out. I kept my fist clenched tightly, and then what it was cool is that she was holding the lock-in coin, the locked key, and literally in her fucking hand, could have stared at it all day for the rest of her life, probably not found the secret. And then I said, okay, you chose the silver key, you could have chose either one. I slowly opened up my fist, nothing there. So the cleanest vanish you could possibly ever imagine, because, you know, they're holding the fucking dirty element, and then just revealed it behind her. And like absolutely perfect piece of magic and machine precision made. When I post the episode, you know, you'll see, but highly recommended, highly, highly recommended. In fact, probably like one of the top tricks of the year, to be honest.
Wow. 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 It's not even out yet either, is it?
No, I got it here actually.
Oh, wicked. I can't wait to get my hands on that.
Dude, you're going to absolutely lose your shit over it. Look at this, right? That's the silver key. That's the gold key, right? That's the gimmick there.
Yeah.
Right. Now they're together. Look how.
Oh, that's imperceptible. That's beautiful.
If I was to turn this around three times, right? Am I showing you the side with the lock-in part, or is this side the lock-in part?
Dude, I can't tell, genuinely. You can't see the difference.
You can't. And that was in her fucking hand. Ugh.
Mad.
This type of magic where you feel sort of sorry for your audience, because their only explanation is going to be magic. Or something so outlandish that you know, this because there's no other way of... It's just fucking phenomenal.
That's phenomenal. Amazing. That's amazing. That's amazing. Love that. Love that. Can't wait to get my hands on that. So that's new. There's not that many new things that have come out, in all honesty.
Murphy's On Edge is coming out with Angelo Carbone.
Oh, yeah. We need to talk about On Edge. I actually said the other day, I actually think that Angelo Carbone should win Creator of the Year this year.
Oh, 100%. Three massive releases.
Three big releases. And also, not just three big releases, Lloyd. Let's think about this for a minute. They're so eclectic in terms of the first one was the...
Mentalism.
Book test, Mentalism. The second one was basically an illusion. And you could say the third one's an illusion, but it's also...
It's also like PK, not PK, like...
Yeah, it's kind of... It's weird. And then, obviously, I think for some reason, a lot of people have been talking about The Gift again. I think it's probably because Angelo's name's come up this year a lot. And a lot of people have been talking about The Gift, and that's become a new thing to a lot of people. I just think he's Creator of the Year. And this, for those of you that don't know...
By my own.
He's bringing out, I think, this week or next week, On Edge, which is just the most... Paul Harris would describe it as a moment of strange. You're basically making a card castle And which is an impressive feat on its own if you actually have ever tried to make a card castle.
Yeah.
But then you start removing cards and it still stays up, despite the fact that you're removing key cards that would mean that the thing should fall down, and it doesn't. It looks so good.
Yeah, it's just... It was the trick that I was talking about that I mean, you can see online, there's a lot of massive performers have done this on their social media and at their shows. I was at the London Magic Convention the night before. We went to go and see Tom, what's his surname? Tom Brace. Tom Brace's magic show. And it was a moment in the show that he, because it's quite comedy, it's comedy magic, you know, but done right. And then there's this moment in the show where he just does that. He talks about, like, I think he's talking about being a kid and, you know, in his bedroom, one of the things he perfected. And it just literally got gasps and mouths wide open from the audience. And people were just bowled the fuck over. I seen a hilariously stupid comment on one of the Facebook groups that said, can the cards be examined? And someone said, not all of the cards can be examined. And then he said, well, that makes the trick pointless. And I was thinking, I just watched this being performed. I literally fucking watched it being performed on stage to a room of a couple hundred people. What were the audience going to do? A, are they going to get on stage and examine it? B, I think Angelo even said himself, like, you can't examine the invisible deck. Does that make it pointless?
Exactly. Unfortunately,
and also, it's like, it's not one of those things where you think the cards are, you know, it's like some tricks you think, like a Holy Wood or an Industrial Revelation, everyone wants to examine the gimmick. Because that's where all the focus is. This is not one of those things. You know?
I don't know.
But it's great. It's phenomenal. It's been selling privately. I think Angelo used to sell it privately for years, right? Worth every penny. Just amazing.
Oh, incredible. Absolutely incredible. And I can't wait to review that. That's going to be great. And Angelo, yeah, creator of the year. Don't think there's another person out there that can touch him. The other thing that we need to talk about, man, is the Elysian duets are now available. Do you know about these?
I do not.
So let me send you a link. Basically, our friend who we work with an awful lot together, Phil Smith, obviously no longer DMC decks. The partnership between DMC, Drummond, and Phil is no longer. And the Elysian Duets is Phil Smith's, basically, the evolution of the DMC deck.
Okay.
The new Elysian Duets from Phil Smith Creative, the first deck in our new Elysian range and the latest development of our unique optical marking system with a whole suite of updates underpinning the same goal to build the ultimate deck of cards for performing powerful, engaging magic. So this is what you get. First of all, the cards feel beautiful and they look beautiful and the back design is amazing and everything. But four corner marking with the legendary optical marking system. That's the same marking system that was used on the DMC deck that Phil created for the DMC deck. Elegant, refined aesthetic marked with the stack position for the mnemonica stack. So it comes stacked in mnemonica and it's marked as well as marked with the actual playing card. It's also marked with the stack position for mnemonica. It's also marked. It tells you what the card above and below is in the mnemonica stack. So, for example, if you're looking at card number 20, it'll have a 20 on there. It'll have a jack of hearts. It'll have a two of diamonds. It'll have a, three of spades. It's got a one-way back design that's very subtle that you won't see. One-way face design, Joker reveal card, double backer included, and online instructions and tricks.
Wow, kind of like the code maybe a little bit, but
a little bit like the code, yeah.
But on steroids, possibly. But I don't know. Sounds fucking incredible.
Give it the Phil Smith treatment, Mitch.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, the DMC market design is by far and large the best market system in the world.
Mm-hmm. No card even comes close.
The closest market system. No, I can't. No, I can say I like it was Brooklyn Playing Cards had a very clever market system, and obviously there's the butterflies. But I think the most practical, beautiful, and clever is Phil Smith's design. For that, it's just phenomenal. Yeah, and to see it now then being taken to the fucking next level.
Yeah.
And in mnemonica, which is my stack of choice, then
yep.
Yeah, it's a must buy.
So yeah, that's out and available to buy from all good magic dealers. You can get it directly from Phil Smith, or you can get it from all good magic dealers through through Murphy's, obviously. Now, Murphy's have just bought out, and I'm sure you know about this because it's been bought out by Murphy's directly, not been available for a long time. They've just bought out Slidini's Knotted Silks again.
Oh, I literally genuinely had no idea.
Yeah, so they've just bought out in 24-inch and 18-inch the silks, along with instructions that you need to do the Slidini silk routine. The first person I saw do that was Bill Malone. And when I saw him do it, I was never more fooled. Did it in my app for years, lost the silks, couldn't find them. And now we've got the silks back out again. So
I don't know how it's done. I don't know the method.
It's incredible. It's incredible. It's very easy. It's made out of parachute silk, and that basically does all the work for you.
Oh, wow.
So there you go.
Thanks for exposing it.
No problem. I mean, obviously. fuck.
If it needs particular silks, then.
Yeah. Also, a couple of other things. There's not been that many. You never get that many new things just before Christmas. But we have got a couple of other things. You've got Vanishing Ink have brought out Canon by David Regal, which I don't really know much about, to be perfectly honest. But you can easily predict or produce any named card in an envelope or box with Canon. Powerful and versatile effect you'll love performing. Super clever method will put a huge smile across your face. At its core, Canon is a specially made deck of cards that enables you to produce any named card in an envelope or a card box or any way you want to without forces, equivocal, suspicious procedures. You learn two simple routines, a no palming routine where the name card is predicted in an envelope on the table. And there's also another great effect in which the name card jumps from one deck into the box of another. Comes ready to go.
Yeah, looks really good. I feel like I've seen it before. Do you know what I mean?
But I haven't got it wrong.
I got a feeling somebody, and I won't name it or go into it, somebody showed it to me in the last 2 years. And I think they maybe actually sold a few copies of it.
Oh, wow.
But I don't know. But yeah, it's great. I mean, it's Regal. He's a genius.
He is indeed. And while we're talking about Vanishing Ink, you must have heard, I know you've been out the loop for a couple of weeks, but you must have heard that they've just brought out a 3-volume set of books by Wayne Dobson.
I hadn't heard that. No, dude, I'm proper like, huh? I just focus on my own magic these days.
But I know you like reading. I know you like reading books.
Wayne is one of my heroes.
Just look at this. I just want to show you this very quickly. I'm putting it in the chat.
So what is it, like a 3-volume set, did you say?
3-volume set of book. Here, I've just sent you the link. Have a look at that.
Ooh. Okay, here's the link. Wayne Dobson's Legacy. £91, which is quite really fucking cheap for 3 massive fucking books. Holy shit. Volume 1, Memoirs. Before you dive into the tricks in Volumes 2 and 3, you'll be taken on a first-hand adventure through Wayne's remarkable lifelong journey. Step into his world and discover how a childhood fascination with magic in a drab suburban town blossomed into an obsession that drove his rise to superstardom. Tucked between the lines, you'll find invaluable pieces of wisdom that can help guide any aspiring performers to greatness. And he really did achieve greatness as well. So, and he's hilarious. Wow. Oh, there's loads of contents in it. Volume 2, A Kind of Magic. That was the name of the show that I seen him in live when I was younger. Volume 2 starts with a touching foreword from David Williamson before diving into Wayne's most popular reputation-making routines. You'll get the inner workings to his best original effects, the routines that helped him achieve international fame. Coins to Glass, Home in Death Card, Million Dollar Mystery, Tossed Deck Pro. Holy shit, there's loads of tricks in here. There's loads. On stage and television. Oh god, this is tricks from TV. More tricks from TV. Close up on TV. Stage. Oh, Jesus Christ. And then volume 3, Dobson's Choice. Those who enjoy learning practical material are going to absolutely love volume 3. These are practical professional routines that have been honed and refined in front of real audiences of all sizes. To put it simply, this is a book of workers. There are stand-up pieces like Total Recall, which Wayne's unique take on the Magic Square routine, and Shopping List, an impossible, hilarious, and entertaining 10-minute prediction routine filled with a surprising wine bottle production kicker they'll never see coming. Wayne also includes his close-up classics like 360 and Lucky Dip, the trick that fooled Darren Brown, who also wrote the foreword, and immediately became one of the legendary mentalist's favorite go-to tricks to perform. Holy fucking shit. And there's fucking loads of tricks in there as well. How is this so cheap?
I have no
this
idea.
This honestly should be like three times the price. It legitimately should be like...
I think that Josh and Andy have lost their ever-loving mind.
Yeah, this is legitimately like way underpriced. Fuck, this is great. This is actually phenomenal.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh my god. And to see like the TV magic tricks explained. It's always an interesting side to see people explain tricks that have been performed on TV, because oftentimes there are certain stipulations you have to put in place where performing TV effects, you know, angles or restrictions, or sometimes you have to, often when tricks are performed on TV, they have to be completely fucking bulletproof and rewind proof. Tricks that are commercial walk around worker tricks can often rely on a moment of misdirection to achieve the dirty work. On TV, you don't really get that. You don't get that option. And so it's interesting, you know, a lot of material for TV is often just that little bit better. You know, they cover more bases. They make sure it's a lot more bulletproof. And that's why, you know, TV Magic has, you know, incredible consultants working on it around the world. Just up the ante a little bit. So yeah, that book is worth its weight in fucking gold, man.
It really is. Really, really is.
Jesus Christ.
There you go. Told you.
And I bet it's funny as fuck as well.
Yeah, it's going to be Wayne. You know what Wayne's like. And also touching. I bet it'll be really emotional.
Yeah.
And motivational. Yeah, this is the definitive book. This is amazing. Oh, God, my phone just keeps going off and I have no idea why.
Oh, fuck them off, mate. There's something that I'm really excited to see come out. It's from, again, one of my favorite companies on the rise, called Mindhouse, Louis Laval's company, MindHouse.co.uk.
I believe so.
And
yeah.
I said that like .co.uk. It's a release coming out with Peter Turner. And it's Peter Turner teaching. Yeah, exactly. Craig's face is like, oh, fuck. Holy shit. It's their first release with Peter Turner, and he's teaching something which he first showed, I think, in 2016 or 17. And it's one of the things that people have been requesting that he's to teach. He's never explained it before, but it's one of the common questions he gets asked. And I know this because there was a competition in the comments section on Instagram to guess what the effect was that he's never taught before. Because, you know, there's a few closely guarded secrets from Pete. And I won't say it because I'll make you guys work for it. But it's one of those things which, when I first seen him do it, I was like, what the fuck is that? What did you do there to get that reaction? Fucking gold. Absolutely. That's Pete Turner. He's a genius. So, and Louis Laval. Ugh.
That's fucking exciting.
If I could be Eiffel Towered by two blokes, it would probably be those two, you know?
I could see that happening. As long as somewhere in the room for the sloppy seconds, you'd be good, right?
Yeah, for sure. Mm. I'd have Lewis in front, like my face end, because he's prettier, you know.
Yeah.
Then exactly. I'd have Pete treat me like a man from behind.
Once again, this is why people tune into the Magic Podcast. Fuck me. Oh, dear me. Yeah. That's an image that people are going to remember for the rest of their lives. Outside of that, I don't think there's anything new out, Lloyd. I think that's it. I think it's the calm before the storm. Everybody's holding off for Blackpool.
I did see two other things.
Oh, shit.
Immediately coming to the front of my attention. The first one is Insta Project by Victor Sanz and Julio Montoro. And it's nine effects that are visual piece of magic for Instagram. And a few of the effects look fucking phenomenal. Ultra visual. There's a chewing gum color change which happens in ultra my style slow motion, which looks phenomenal. You change a red pack of chewing gum into a green pack, and it happens over the space of like 10 seconds. You see the gradual change. And if I figured out the method correctly, it's very, very, very fucking clever. And there's also a melting card effect where you hold a playing card and it begins to, you hold a lighter to it at the bottom of it. So you're holding it from above, like you're dangling a necklace, so to speak. And you light the flame of the candle, sort of the card visually starts to warp and melt, and then it restores itself. Looks great. Those are just two of the effects, but yeah, it looks really cool. Really, really cool. So if anyone's looking for like some new visual magic for maybe your show reels or your socials over the holiday seasons, I know like these days it's pretty important for all magicians to have a social presence when trying to get bookings or build their brand. That would be ideal for someone. Absolutely ideal.
That's very, very cool. Julio's great as well. A lot of his stuff is really, really good.
I'm Victor Sands. Victor is one of my favorite creators of all time. He's just in a league of his own. But no disservice to Julio, but Victor is amazing.
Oh yeah, yeah, 100%. And when the two of them team up, I mean that's fucking awesome.
Mm-hmm. Again, that's another Eiffel Tower situation.
Yes. Yeah.
joking. Okay. And the next one that I was, or the last one, I should say, then probably is the re-release of Industrial Revelation by Jamie D. Grant.
Well, I mean, Vanishing Ink brought that out on their Black Friday thing. It sold out within 5 seconds.
Has it sold out?
It's sold out. They're going to get more stock in. There's a few people that are moaning about it on the cafe. But I mean, that might yes. just, it's the cafe, but a few people that have had the original that wanted to buy the new version by Vanishing Ink are saying that it's not as good. It's a little bit more visible.
It's over half the price. So that did set off alarm bells initially.
Original Industrial Revelation, and I performed.
I had one gifted to me by Jamie D. Grant, and a friend lost it.
What a cunt. Well, I've still got one because I don't have friends. I performed it for years. I no longer perform it. And the reason I don't perform it is because, honestly, I think Hollywood is better because of a couple of different reasons. As a gigging magician, for a couple of different reasons. One, carrying that thing around from table to table, it weighs a ton. You can't put it in a jacket because it's going to fuck your jacket up. So really the only place you can put it is into your trouser pocket, and it's just really heavy to carry around with you. While Hollywood is a block of wood, so it's much lighter. Also, the grains in the block of wood completely hide the fact that it's gimmicked. But also, it makes sense because with the Hollywood presentation, you show that you've got a deck of cards. You have the card, you take the card out, you do the presentation, you do the penetration with the card, and you talk about going back in time so it turns to mush and then turns to wood, and then the cards change into this block of wood and everything's examinable. I actually prefer Hollywood, and I stopped doing it and started doing Hollywood for that very reason. Doesn't mean that it's not great. I did Industrial Revelation for years. It's very good, but I think it's been superseded now.
I think it's tricky, but it's dependent on the style you're going to perform. Like you said, Giga Magician having a massive, heavy block of steel, whatever it was.
Yeah.
Not such a great thing, but there is that total shocking element to it. If you're just doing it for like friends, family, where, you know, it's like that fucking thump when it comes out and it's just a completely different piece of material to it. Yeah. And with an original one, they look imperceptible. You could not find anything to do with it. That being said, Hollywood is even compared to the original Industrial Revelation, that, you know, that front part of it, so from the front side of it, they've got that extra convincer. The way it's manufactured, there is actually a clever bit of detailing added that genuinely obfuscates the method to a further degree, meaning it can genuinely be examined a lot more intensely. Not that Industrial Revelation couldn't be, but out of the two, I would be more comfortable handing, if I had like the world's worst heckler, you know, somebody who's just a real piece of shit looking to ruin my day, the dog just got run over by themselves, you know, type of person, then that's the one I would choose to hand. I think I even said when I did a full episode, it's one, you know, there's certain tricks that you perform to like royalty. I don't know, not actually to royalty, but the type of tricks which have to be 100% bulletproof, which have to be incredibly fucking good, incredibly entertaining as well. Or, you know, it's just a real moment of magic. Hollywood is one of them. I'm probably the original Industrial Revelation, but the Hollywood one is the one I just think edges it in terms of that clever idea they have on either end of it is just a little tiny bit. But still, man, it's you know, we wouldn't have a Hollywood, I don't think, really, without Industrial Revelation.
Nope.
And the original one was, man, I used to perform that fucking, I actually just used to keep it on my table with a knife through it. And whenever then family would come over or friends would come over, or even like random people call in that would come in, like the gas man who would see it on the table, then I would do it. And there's that. You do get more of a shock when a fucking lump of metal comes out.
Yeah, you do.
You know, but as a gigging magician, I couldn't imagine anything worse.
Yeah, it's a bit of a pain. But no, I'm right with you. I have to go, man. We've been doing this over an hour, and I've just had someone knock at my door. I've got to get to London.
Cool. Fucking great.
We did say we had to cut this short, but, you know, this has probably made you happy because you haven't got to the point in your, the point where you're, like, lagging. You've been super...
I haven't even checked my phone yet.
I know, right? I mean, there's no snooker on at the moment, so that's probably part of
there
it.
Is it the snooker shootout today? I don't know. I don't think so. Possibly. But it's okay. I'm not that interested in the shootout. It's a boring format.
Fair enough. I'm going to go. You're going to go. But we're seeing each other again in a few days. Hopefully we'll be back next Wednesday. I've got a slightly less busy week next Wednesday. So hopefully we'll be back next Wednesday with another podcast. But this has been super fun, man. I've really enjoyed doing this one with you.
It's been too long. Even though it hasn't really been that long. For us, it's been a fucking lifetime. For most people, it's the time they see between, they go between seeing their fucking kids.
Yeah, exactly. But we kind of talk most days. But it's been really good fun.
Fuck off to the big smoke, man. Have a good time. Be safe. Travel well. I will. It's Christmas, so people are assholes on the roads and stuff. So just be double careful.
I will.
And don't forget, if you want to check out Jake's lecture, go to jakekeen.com. And if you want to listen to that trick about the She Loves Me Not, go to the Black Art podcast from last week too. And if not, we'll see you guys here next week.
Yeah, and don't forget to book on at the House of Secrets for the podcast.
Is it .co.uk or
.com? Yeah, houseofsecrets.co.uk.
Yes, to get tickets for Blackpool for the inauguration night for us.
Exciting. Right.
See you next week, everybody.
Fuck off. Have a shit week, you cunts. And we will be back again next Wednesday.
Have a shit week, you clowns.
Love that.
All right. Bye, dude.
We apologize for disrupting your normal daily schedule. You may now relax, tuck your deck back in, and resume your regular day-to-day life. Remember to subscribe to be notified the moment each new episode goes live every Wednesday. And join our Facebook group to continue the conversation. The link is in the description to this podcast. Thank you for listening to The Magic Podcast.